This is Walmart Associates, Inc. Mr. Hanley, good morning to you, and I apologize if I butchered your client's name.
Marilakis.
Yeah, Marilakis.
I think you did.
There we go. You may proceed.
Did or didn't?
I'm sorry?
How's the chief feeling today?
I would say, you know, it's true. I was thinking about other things.
There you go. Okay. You may proceed.
May it please the court, my name is David Hanley, and I represent Michael Marilakis in this appeal from the Nebraska Workers' Compensation Court. The very first thing I think I want to tell this court is this. I've got a small error in my brief, and I think you're going to want to know this because it's really important. Here's what the error is. My brief is telling you, hey, look, court, we need you to adopt Savala. There's this podcast out there that has this holding that we really like and we want you to adopt it. My error is this. This court kind of already has. Savala decided in 1997, and then in 2000 we have this Logsdon versus IFSCO co-case that comes out. And in that case, this court talks about primarily unexplained fall cases and not idiopathic, but they talk about idiopathic falls while they're explaining the difference between the two things. Then this court says, first, it says, idiopathic falls are universally not compensable. But then the court turns around and says, on page 633, in talking about it, it says, Professor Larson is quick to distinguish between unexplained fall cases and idiopathic falls. Unexplained fall cases begin with a completely neutral origin of a mishap, while idiopathic fall cases begin with an origin which is admittedly personal and which therefore requires some affirmative employment contribution to offset the prima facie issue of personal origin. This court has all that, and that's exactly what Savala says. This court has already sided with approval, and I think impliedly said, this is how it works with idiopathic fall cases. So in our case with Mr. Marilakis, he had an idiopathic fall. That's what the court determined. Disagree, but it doesn't matter. I lose on that issue. And so here we are. He had an idiopathic fall. When he fell face first into the shelving units at Walmart where he works. When he did that, he lacerated his face starting from his forehead down across his face, and he also fractured his sinus cavity, and he ended up with a TBI. That is what the shelving unit did to him. There are exactly two witnesses to this case. They are Mr. Banks and Ms. Young. Both of them are employees of Walmart.
There's also a camera, is there not?
Yeah. If the court's seen the video and watched it, I will tell you there is no way to determine what happened when he fell. I mean, the video is so bad. Someone needs to talk to Walmart. It's just that bad. I blew it up 300% in order to get the picture that you have there. And as he's walking forward and he falls, you can't really see him. And that's what the video shows. So there are two witnesses to him hitting his face. There is a camera that shows him falling forward, but there are only two people to say that he fell face first into the shelving unit. As a result of that fall, I told you about the fractures, but also, he also lost 500 cc's of blood, which is a lot of blood that was spilled there. So this is a fall that happens in the employment condition is that shelving unit. Had he fallen on the ground, and I tell you in my brief, if he had fallen on the ground, it wouldn't be a compensable accident. If the ground is what caused his injury, it would not be compensable. And this is logical, because the ground is everywhere. So, it's not the employment condition that creates it, because the ground's already there, right? But in this case, he actually fell into something. And in Savala, the court talks about, and again, in Lucas v. Anderson Ford, the court talks about, that there needs to be something more. And it gives us some examples of machinery, or sharp corners, or a fall from height, something like that. And that is an example. It's not a limited list.
What's the court say, the comp court say about the shelving unit?
Nothing. The comp court says he falls and he ends up in the aisle. The court doesn't talk about it. And I'll tell you...
Is that because in the trial court you were arguing it was a trip and fall case rather than conceding like you do now that it's an idiopathic case?
That's a possibility. What I really think it is I think because the way Logsdon is written, I think it confuses us. Because I'm going to admittedly tell you, I have always thought coming up through trial courts, trying these cases, that idiopathic falls were automatic zeros. They were losers. I really believe that. Because when you read Logsdon, that's what it starts off to say in its holding.
Was there an argument presented to the trial court that this was an idiopathic fall, that some employment condition contributed to the injury?
No.
I mean, so can we say that the trial court erred by not awarding damages on a basis that you concede was never presented to it?
Well, the information was presented there, but no, the argument wasn't made at trial. And here's why you can. This all comes from whether or not an accident arises out of your employment. It is something every single plaintiff must prove in every single case. So the employer is not prejudiced because it's not in the pleadings or because it wasn't brought up at trial. It's always the issue, always, every single time. So when the trial court says, you know what, I don't think you tripped and fell, idiopathic, boom, you're done, you're out of here. It's because I think of the Logsdon case. I think the court stopped its analysis as soon as it found that it was an idiopathic fall. And I think that's exactly what the order of dismissal says.
But wasn't that because that's the way you presented the case to the trial court?
I did not deceive the trial court.
I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying your theory to the trial court was that this was a trip and fall case. And don't you, if you want to recover on the idiopathic plus employment condition theory, don't you have to do something so the trial court knows that you're asking for relief on that basis?
I don't think you have to, no. And it's because of the nature of the workers' compensation laws. And the nature is that the purpose of the Comp Act is a beneficent one. In other words, we are trying to get employees who are injured in their job, we're trying to get them better, and we're trying to get them back to work, and we're trying to offset some of the economic damage that's done to them along the way. And so, no, I don't think I have to, in every single case, lay out everything for the trial court. If we did, I think we would have opening and closing arguments always recorded.
What's the error from the trial court?
The error from the trial court is that it failed to apply the law as it exists, and that is that an employment condition actually contributed to the injury, therefore making it an accident that arises out of employment.
How is the shelving unit, when I assume it's in a facility with lots of shelving units, how is the shelving unit any different in that room than the floor is in that room?
Well, the shelving unit was, first of all, it was put there by the employer. I mean, it's there for an employment purpose. The floor is there because we got to walk on something. So that's...
I'm trying to find a meaningful difference.
Well, I'll tell you, the floor is flat, and that shelving unit must have been sharp because it lacerated his face and it fractured his head and it caused a traumatic brain injury. So that is the employment condition, is the shelf. Just like if he had fallen into a machine, just like if he had fallen off a ladder, just like if he had been driving a car.
Was there anything about the shelf? If he had fallen into a machine without a guard, right? But was there anything about this shelf that was irregular?
Not that I know of, but the law only says that we have to have a contributing factor. There's got to be some contribution. It doesn't say that it has to be, you know, it was run over by a semi instead of run over by a car. I mean, the result is the same. He's still hurt because of an employment condition, if that makes sense. So we don't really have to get into the degree of whether or not, you know, he got hit by a car versus a semi. It's all the same result. He gets hurt, and it's because of this employment condition.
What about the Court of Appeals case where they talk about someone that fell into a desk?
He actually didn't fall into the desk.
They speculated about a desk.
I think actually in Lucas they said had he hit the desk, it might have been compensable. At least that's kind of how I understood. But he didn't. He stood up, he passed out, he fell to the left, and it said he didn't hit the desk. I think he said he moved the chair, but ultimately... That's the Lucas v. Anderson Ford case you're talking about, and that's what happened there. So, I'm running into my rebuttal time. If there are no more questions, I'd like to see you again in about a minute, or about 10 minutes. Okay.
Thank you very much, Ms. Caswell. Good morning to you.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Jennifer Caswell. I represent Walmart in this case, and I think what I want to impress upon this court today is that we're talking about a shelf. We're talking, or at least Mr. Handley is talking about a shelf. But the factual finding made at the trial court level was that the plaintiff fell to the ground. The judge viewed, or the plaintiff, the appellant, fell to the ground. The judge viewed the video and made factual findings based on that video. And the video really is the best evidence of in this case. The judge did listen to witness testimony as well, but the judge is free to weigh that testimony along with viewing the video evidence and make his factual findings. So with the judge making a factual finding that the plaintiff fell to the floor, I don't know that there needs to be a discussion about whether a shelf is an increased risk or not.
Would that finding be clearly erroneous if two witnesses said he fell into the shelf?
I don't think it's clearly erroneous. The judge viewed the video and found that he fell to the floor. I can talk about what I think the video shows. Mr. Handley can talk about what he thinks the video shows.
In fact, Dr. Manny testified what he believed the video showed.
Right. Interestingly about Dr. Manny is he also said that the plaintiff fell right into the aisle, talks and says nothing about a shelf, causing a head injury. One of the witnesses also said that Mr. Marilakos was bleeding from the back of his head, and all the discussion for Mr. Handley is that he's falling into the shelf, but he's bleeding from the back of the head. He fell to the ground. And so I don't think there's clear error when he has video evidence of the incident itself, and he's free to, the other witness I believe was 50 feet away towards the front of the store. Again, that's the job of the judge is to weigh the credibility and the value, if you will, or weight to give to the testimony of the live witnesses who are testifying about something that happened 3 years ago. And then he's got video evidence of the actual event itself, and he is the finder of fact and sees what he sees. So I think unless, for example, if the trial judge were to have found that a plane flew into the store and the video doesn't show any plane anywhere, maybe that's clearly wrong. But if he looks at the video shows him falling. Again, I'm not going to say what I think the video shows, but he finds that he staggers and he falls to the floor. I don't know that we need to talk about a shelf.
Was the trial court really answering the question of floor versus shelf, or was it just saying, wasn't the trial court answering the question of trip or not?
He was. So as Mr. Handley had said, there are three risks. There are neutral risks, employment risks, and then risks that are personal to the employee. So an employment-created risk would be a pallet on the floor that he tripped on, for example. So had the court found that he had tripped on a pallet, we wouldn't be here. But the court didn't find that. The court found that he fell to the ground. So to then put the burden on the court to go into a further analysis about a shelf when that wasn't the factual finding of the court doesn't seem appropriate.
Would you say there's sufficient competent evidence for the trial court to have said, let me do this as a hypothetical had it been expanded upon, sufficient competent evidence for the trial court to say that the employee fell to the ground no more, no less, did not hit anything on the way down, et cetera, et cetera?
I do. Again, I've seen the video, and that's what it appears to me. But he had injuries. He was bleeding, and he had injuries. But he hit a concrete floor. But again, the case law.
Did the nature of those injuries support the idea that he must have hit something like a shelf, something other than the ground?
I think that would be speculation. I do know that...
Was there medical evidence that he suffered some cuts and so
yes,
forth?
Yes, there is evidence.
This whole area is blood rich, right? And you've got two witnesses, is that correct, that say he hit a shelf on the way down?
Yes.
Okay. And what did the doctor say?
The doctor...
With respect to the nature of the injuries.
He did have lacerations. He did have a head injury. He was diagnosed with a seizure disorder. There was much discussion in the record, as this, I'm sure this court has reviewed, that he had a encephalitis as a child, had several brain surgeries, and was on seizure medication for, I believe, 7 years, up and until he was, I believe, 19. So the focus was putting him, you know, he was diagnosed with a partial seizure disorder, put back on that medication, and in fact had a subsequent seizure, or maybe two, after this accident occurred. So I would also like to address, although again I don't feel that it's necessary, I do think it's appropriate to address whether a shelf is an increased risk. Because I think the court in Lucas versus Anderson Ford talked, as you pointed out, about the desk and the chair. And in doing so, it said, you know, even if we assume that the desk changed the manner in which Lucas fell, it is difficult for us to conceive that Lucas faced an increased risk of injury because he was getting up from a chair behind a desk. There is no evidence that Lucas's act of sitting behind a desk made the consequences of Lucas's fainting spell more severe than if Lucas had fainted at home or while walking on a sidewalk.
But isn't Lucas, I mean, there's no evidence Lucas fell and hit the desk.
No.
So, I mean, that's apples and oranges,
right,
isn't it?
Yeah.
That ruling was based on a fall. It talked about the mannerism of fall and getting up and falling, but it didn't talk about striking something on the way down. So I think really the crux of the case, and if we look at that, we decide it's idiopathic, and we decide that he struck the shelf, then the question becomes, is that shelf caused by his employment? Is there an increased risk of that? Is that the appropriate way to look at that?
That is the appropriate analysis, if that's the factual finding.
And we're going to assume, just for this, that that's the factual finding.
If there is an idiopathic fall and... But I think where we get hung up too is that the plaintiff has to show that there was an increase appellant's employment placed him in a position increasing the dangerous effects of the fall. So Mr. Hanley talks about the cognitive impairment suffered by as a result of this head injury suffered by the plaintiff. And there is one expert in the case that concludes he had cognitive impairment, but that expert, again, isn't referencing the shelf or injuries from the shelf. The expert says, I looked at the video, he fell to the right in the aisle, sustained a head injury, and he has cognitive impairment. So again, even the plaintiff's own expert isn't talking about a shelf. So that's why I think it's error to analyze this case on the assumption that the plaintiff hit the shelf. Or, more importantly, I guess I should say, that was an increase the dangerous effects of his fall.
What's Larson said about bookcases and desks and things of that nature?
Well, as you said, in Lucas versus Anderson Ford, there isn't the court doesn't go one step farther and say, you know, let's talk about whether actually hitting a desk is an increased risk. But it does talk about, you know, being at home and hitting a sidewalk or, you know, getting up from a chair at home. There are bookshelves at home, things that... So I think if the analysis is, could something, outside of work have also caused a similar laceration to his face, is that... does that increase the dangerous effects of his injury? I think that the other part is he's not climbing on the shelf, he's not building the shelf, he's not standing on top of the shelf. But again, I'm not even conceding that he hit the shelf. But under that hypothetical, I still don't think that is an increased risk, and that there certainly wasn't evidence presented that the shelf was some kind of an increase to Mr. Marleyko specifically.
Is there evidence that there was no shelf?
No, you can see it's a Walmart store. You can see on the video itself that he's coming down, again, as I view it, he's coming down at sort of a main aisle. I don't know if any of you have been to a Walmart, but there's a large aisle and then several aisles, just as in a grocery store or anything. And there is shelving in every aisle. So you can see that on the video, certainly. It's not that there wasn't anything there. You can't...
You may finish that thought.
Well, I just, you know, again, the video is from a little bit of a distance because it's a surveillance video, but you can still, it's a grocery store. So, so with that, I would just ask that this court affirm the factual findings of the lower court. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? 54 seconds. Mr. Handley.
Everyone who falls down, and if you're walking when you fall, you hit the ground, and that's what the judge told us. And that's it. Never analyze whether or not he hit the shelf. But the evidence was there. He definitely hit the shelf. The shelf is definitely an employment condition. The reason is because...
When you say he definitely hit the shelf, how do we know that?
Because we have two witnesses that told us that he fell face first into that shelf. So that's how we know. And...
Which witnesses?
Bob Banks and Shauna Young. And I wrote down exactly, they're in my brief, but they also testify on pages 71 and 76 that's where their testimony is found, and that's where they talk about it.
Thanks. I didn't mean to slow you down.
No, that's okay.
But a trial judge is not required to accept as gospel what a witness testifies to, right?
That is true.
I mean, he can look at the video and say, I believe the video, I don't believe the witnesses.
But he would have had to have said that, and he didn't. He really didn't make any findings about whether or not the shelf was an employment condition, because he would have talked about it, and he didn't. Judge Coe's been at it for 30 years. He's a great judge. He didn't do it.
Said he hit the floor, right?
I think he concluded he ended up on the floor, because he does.
All right.
There's a factual finding that he hit the ground in our record.
I believe he says he hits the ground, yes. But I don't know that. Yeah, well. So, please reverse. Tell him to enter an award. Thank you.
Thank you very much.